Yeah, what I want to share with you tonight, it may be sort of basic what we feel like we already know, but it is a, there's truth to it, and we need it in this hour and day that we're living in. We need the Spirit of God in our lives more and more than we ever have in times past. We need every day. There are challenges every day, I have, let me say this, I know the whole congregation is not here, and I'll probably mention it again Sunday, and maybe it, who knows how many times. But there's such pressure on our teenagers and our young people, and especially if you're going through junior high, it nowadays it is the pressure of just language, thought, content of life is terrible, horrible. Really is. And I know that our young people or young people don't like to be monitored too much, but Dad and Mom, let me say this, you need to know what your children are watching on your on their phones, on their iPads, what chat room they're in,
yes, sir.
What they're talking about. You really do. They're still in your house, under your care, under your protection. And we're living in a world where this world is challenging everything it's principle-based that we know that is true according to Scripture. Amen?
Yeah.
It really is. And so for the church, it is a marvelous thing. When I talk about the church, I'm talking about the apostolic church. To walk in the knowledge of the Holy Ghost, walk in the knowledge of the Spirit of God. Paul wrote a few things about this in the book of Romans when he's writing to the church at Rome. But tonight, let me start out with short scripture in John chapter 4, verse 24. John 4, 24. This little portion of scripture has a lot of meaning to it and a lot of depth to it. John 4, 24, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. My Bible that tells us that we must worship him in spirit, that spirit is a small s, which means your spirit. God's a capital S. In the scripture, that's God's spirit. God is a spirit. And there is good spirit and there's bad spirit. Amen? I think that the world that we're living right now is a challenge on which spirit is going to come out on top. We've read the back of the book. The old saying is, we know who wins. But you must determine that you're going to be among the group that wins.
Amen.
You must. I must. I've thought about our family, so forth, but the church has a responsibility of teaching the Word of God. We have a Sunday school department. On Sunday morning, the teachers do their very best to teach the children doctrinal truth. But then it comes back to Mom and Dad. Or just Mom, or just Dad. In our baby dedication Sunday morning, I gave Brother Ronnie a red rose at the end of the service to remind him his responsibility to protect, watch over the family, take care of the family, as Jesus gave his life for there to be a church. And that dad's responsibility is to watch over and protect that family. And to Tanya, I gave a white rose, the purity of that teaching and that communicating of the scriptures. And when you tuck that baby in at nighttime or when it wakes up in the morning time, you're talking to that child, falls most often to the responsibility of the mother. And that mother's responsibility is teaching that child and just talking to that child and the basic things of truth. And when we look at this, it says, worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, what's truth? What is truth? Well, the whole Bible's full of truth. I know it is, but what is truth? We're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. What is the truth? Is it the doctrine of salvation? Is that truth? Yes, it is. What truth is it that we're supposed to worship Him in? And I thought about the marvelous one word, which is called grace. I'm so thankful that I can know the truth about grace. Grace is a marvelous word.
Yes, it is.
Marvelous word. Amen. But the Spirit of God, and so tonight we're talking about a life-giving Spirit. And the life-giving Spirit is the Spirit of God. Now, we can relate to or connect to God through our spirit. And I believe this is the only way that we can approach or have a relationship with Him. Since God is spirit, our connection to Him is our spirit. That's why our spirit had to be renewed, born again. When we come to this place that if we are unaware of our new identity that we possess, a new creature in Christ Jesus, then if we're not really aware of that day in and day out, that we might try to approach God through our emotions and thoughts. And you can't have a relationship with God simply by emotions or thoughts. And I want to explain that here in just a little bit. When we try to have a relationship with God with emotions and thoughts, when that happens, we fall short of our potential and we miss the transforming depth of the relationship that God desires, I really believe, really desires to have with us. You can have an emotion one moment. You can be happy one second, sad the next. You can be friendly to one person and someone else angers you. And you can't just simply live a relationship with God based upon emotions or thoughts. Shook my hand. What? You must like me. Or you passed me by and then shake my hand. Second later, well, I guess that person doesn't like me. So you can't have a relationship with God simply by emotions or simply by thoughts. So we had to have something more than that. And so we battle emotions that can lead to hate, lust, anger, covetousness, and all those times it's hard to believe that we are a new creature. So we question how God could have loved us, and we don't understand fully His love. However, I think tonight it's not our body or our soul to which God relates, it's our spirit. You know not what spirit you are of. We are influenced by the spirits that are around us. They affect our thoughts. They affect our emotions. More people are committing suicide. Our young people in this world, older people in this world, doesn't make any difference what age or class you're in. There are thoughts that comes in that drive you to the place of total depression. And some thoughts will tell people, it's just better that you're not around any longer. You wouldn't be a burden on so-and-so. And so older people will have a tendency to commit a silent suicide by overdosing themselves or trying to remove themselves out of the way so they won't be a burden to someone else. Others, because of financial pressures or disappointments that they feel like they have brought into other people's lives. And so through emotions and thoughts can wind up destroying people's lives. Amen. But there's something that makes a change into us, and it is what God deals with us. He doesn't deal with our emotions. He doesn't deal directly with our thoughts. He deals directly with our spirit that is within us. When we become a new creature in Christ Jesus, it is because Christ's spirit has transformed our spirit. And let me just ask you a couple of things here. I want you to consider this. Do you feel that you are righteous? The answer, no. But you are. Do you feel that you have the power to heal the sick and raise the dead? Most of you would probably say no. But you do have the power. Do you feel that you're healed? Some say, no, I don't feel it. But you are. Consider this in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S, in God's Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit, God's Spirit, the Spirit of God dwell in you. How many have the infilling of the Holy Ghost? Okay. That's a difference. That's a game changer. Amen. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. How much plainer can you make it? How much clearer can it be? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Guess what the devil tries to do? Try to break the relationship of God's Spirit and your spirit. It's what he did with Eve. It's what he did with Adam. It's what it is with all human beings. Amen? Galatians 4 and 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit, capital S, His Spirit, of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So if you have been born again, your spirit is identical to the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God dwells within you. Anybody believe that? I mean, do you really believe that? Are you just a hunk of clay? Or do you have the Spirit of God in you? When you receive the Holy Ghost, what do you receive? Spirit of God. Shh. We say that real quietly because we're not quite sure or have the confidence. Who dwelleth in you? Ah, the devil. Who then? The Spirit of God dwelleth. I'd come back to my grandparents and my mother would say, I know where you've been. In other words, she had some work in her hands because my grandparents spoiled me and she didn't like a stinky little spoiled kid in her house. Have you ever noticed you'd be around people and their spirit is just not right? That question was asked in the scriptures. You know not what spirit ye are of. We're influenced by the spirit. Spirit of evil, spirit of good. Amen. Romans 7:22 says, For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The inward man is our spirit man. It's our spirit. The spirit is life, and the spirit man delights in the law of faith. So when God created man, life was complete. He breathed the nostrils of Adam. He became a living soul. Adam's life was in harmony with and connected to God until Adam and Eve sinned and separated from the Lord. It is sin that separates or breaks the connection between God's spirit and man's spirit. Not one amen, not one hallelujah, not one preacher, because you're right on tune. You know not what spirit you're of. A lot of people walk around and don't know what spirit they are of. Amen? It is that connection that we as apostolics especially need to understand is that the Spirit of God is the thing that maintains our life because life is in the Spirit. He brings us life and that life more abundantly. Abundantly. You can go through the hardest trials of your life, but you can be alive because the Spirit brings life into your spirit. You can allow emotions to direct your life. You can allow feelings to direct your life. But in each of those situations, you will not have life abundantly. Emotions will destroy you. I've told people, I've seen people, they were emotional wrecks. You ever seen that? Emotional wrecks. You ever use that terminology? You're just an emotional wreck. Why? Because they were just a wreck. Amen? You know what this world needs? It needs to have people around them that has life and more life abundantly. Come on. What affected the New Testament church is the very thing we need in the 21st century to affect the world that we're living in. A church that is full of life. Can you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and all the horrible, terrible things that seem to happen to those Christians, yet you sense there's life in their hope, life in their experience with God, life in their living life? We call it the Hall of Fame of Christians that faced terrible, horrible things, but there's a sense about life in them. They had not given up on God, not given up in their dire circumstances and situation. It is the inner man that brings forth life. God relates to man spirit to spirit. Your emotions are not going to speak to you. Your feelings are not going to speak to you. It is God's spirit that speaks to you. We need to set our children down and talk to them about things like this. We need to talk to our children, if there's going to be another generation comes along, about the importance of entertaining, having, possessing the Spirit of God in our lives. It's not the thing you do when you feel like it ought to be. It is a connection between this is life and having life abundantly. What does that mean? That means I may be down, but I'm still living. I've got hope. I've got faith. I've got grace. I've got mercy. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness." This is where the world is at. "Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." If you want to know the things of God, they are spiritually discerned. The Spirit of God. It will do what? Lead and guide you into all truth. Amen? Our five senses question, misinterpret the things of the Spirit of God. Everything that our mind knows comes through our five senses. I've talked about this before. The five senses have provided us enough sensory impulse to develop our mind, our carnal mind. Yet the carnal mind is contrary to or in variance with the Spirit of God, and it is impossible to know God with the mind of the flesh. Romans chapter 8, I love this 8th chapter of the book of Romans, verses 4 through 10. Follow along with me. Verse 4, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Our righteousness comes from God. It comes from the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Why is there not more people seeking God? Because they're after the mind of the flesh. Church on fire is a church after the mind of the Spirit. Amen? Verse number 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." For to be carnally minded is death. In other words, there is a disconnect between that which will give us life and that more abundantly. When that carnal mind is in operation, it disconnects us. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What is spiritually minded? It is minding the things of the Spirit of God. What do you think, God? How do you do this? How would you have this? What would you want done, Lord? How would you handle this? Anybody talk to God? Or you give him a want list? I want this. I want you to do that. Oftentimes we have a want list, amen, not talking with him. Sometimes you need to sit down and just have a talk. We sometimes get in the mode of praying and we are just absolutely telling God, we thank him, we praise him, worship him, but then we say, now, okay, God, now do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. This is what we're actually saying to him. I want this done. Instead of having, sitting down and having an honest conversation, do you realize that God speaks to your spirit by his spirit? And in prayer, oftentimes, is we just sometimes need to be quiet.
Yes, sir.
It's not how loud you play or pray. It's not according to how many words you say. Although you need to talk, it's like the Holy Ghost. You need to open up your mouth, let it go, have a conversation, and then you stop a while and let God talk back to you. Is that a strange thing? Shouldn't be. God wants to talk to us spirit to spirit. Amen? Try the Spirit and see if it be of the Lord or not. There's times I've tried the Spirit and it wasn't of the Lord. How do you know? Because you get that empty feeling. You get that feeling like, this is not the right thing to do. You don't know that feeling unless you try the Spirit. Should I go visit Aunt whatever and share Jesus with you? Time may not be right. You know it. Why? Because God's Spirit will talk to you about the time when it's right to do that. Amen? God's Spirit talks to your spirit. He doesn't talk to your emotions. He doesn't talk to your feelings. Church, he talks to your spirit. That's the connecting point. He breathed in the nostrils of Adam and he became a living what? He needs to communicate with you. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is why you talk to some people and they resist, because they're not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. They just can't. Why? Because their spirit is not connected to God's spirit. If this world as a whole, every human being's spirit was connected to God's spirit, this world would be totally different. But because it is not, they cannot comprehend the things of God. Amen? Cannot. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But then he says to the church, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So where does the righteousness come from? It comes from the Spirit of God. You cannot make yourself righteous enough. It comes from the Spirit of God. Am I in the Bible? Am I in the book? You need to bring your Bible to church. Make sure I am. You need to get your electronic device out and get to that scripture. Make sure I'm in the book. Because I'm in the book. Am I telling you something wrong? But the Spirit is in life because of righteousness. At first Adam and Eve followed God until Eve succumbed to her fleshly senses and ate the forbidden fruit. Genesis 3 and 6. Adam followed and their sins caused the downfall of mankind. Born again believers have the opportunity to reverse all of that. When we are born again in water and spirit, we have the opportunity to reverse all of our lives, our five senses, dedicated to what we did or said. But as Christians, born again, apostolics, we are now seeking to follow after the Spirit of God as His Spirit leads us. 1 Corinthians 6:17 unveils a startling revelation, because this is what it says. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. When God dwells within your spirit, we become united to Him. Are one with God. The word one denotes singularity in the exclusion of all others. And so the Christian life, your life, my life, is about releasing the perfect salvation that we already have. To releasing it, it is a continually renewed in us day by day despite our circumstances. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, look at what Paul wrote to Corinthians, second letter, 2 Corinthians 4:16. He said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Who does renewing on you? When you get up, put your feet up on the cold floor of the morning time, make your way to the coffee pot, it's not the caffeine that's kind of getting you generated. It is the Spirit of God. It wakes you up in the morning time. Whether 3 in the morning or 6 in the morning or whatever time it is a Spirit of life in you that invigorates us. Amen? This is the day the Lord hath made, and I'm going to complain all day long. Oh, rejoice and be glad in it. Church, we preach Holy Ghost. We preach you must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we surely also need to be taught the fact is it is the Spirit that connects to our spirit that gives us life. And that life is what keeps us going every day, because it is the Spirit of God that keeps it renewed in us. This is where conviction comes from. This is where we know we haven't prayed enough, where we haven't done what we should do. What is it, a Spirit of God that keeps kind of like the little the goads in the Bible, the book of Acts? That, you know, why are you kicking against the goads? Who did he tell that to? Saul, who one day is going to be Paul. Which tells me that God was dealing with him. God's Spirit was dealing with Saul's spirit, but he kept resisting it, kept kicking against it. Yeah. That's what that scripture tells me in the book of Acts. Like you and me, God deals with us and we keep kicking against it. You keep kicking against the goad. And we know That Spirit of God, it keeps dealing with us. Something keeps dealing with us. Church, come on. We're a Holy Ghost-filled church. Spirit-filled church. And so it is sometimes that prick, that punch in our spirit to get our attention, to get us to be noticing something here. Amen? So God's working in you to perfect you. The scriptures contain countless golden nuggets that promises blessing to believers. Let's consider Romans chapter 4, verse number 8. Verse 8 says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The scripture in the Amplified Bible says it this wise: "Blessed and happy and to be envied is the person of whose sin the Lord will take no account nor reckon of against him." We get happy if the Lord will not take remembrance against our sins. King James translation, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." In other words, he doesn't take notice of that. Why? Because he understands the frailty of man. I'm not giving excuse for sinning. But you see, renewal means that all of the attributes and benefits of the Spirit of God are alive and well in us all times. We just have to activate it. Your battery gets dead. Why does your battery get dead? Because it can have a cell that's dead. Yeah. And so you have to hook one wire to a live battery to regenerate the cell that's dead in the battery that you have in your car. And you turn the power on one car, get that motor going, it revs it up and generates power into your battery to reunite, to bring that one cell back to life. That's what a good old prayer meeting does. Don't feel like you're connected. Feel like you're run down. When you have a little talk with Jesus, everything becomes all right. Why? Because he's already there. He's already in you. The battery is there. This needs to be regenerated. Y'all be shouting "Run the aisle" right now. Why? Because we forget that he's there. We live our life every day almost as if non-existent Spirit of God that lives there, that gets you up in the morning, that gets you through the day, that generates you. Amen? When you say, "Lord, help me," he's there to help you. Ephesians 3:16 says that God strengthens the inner man, the outer man at temporal and secondary importance. Notice that he would grant you, according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He strengthens the inner man. The Holy Ghost cannot and does not communicate with your soul. He resides within you and communicates with your spirit. The voice of the Spirit is our conscience, which tries to speak to our mind. And we strengthen this connection as we walk in and are led by the Spirit of God. God's trying to perfect us. When you look at the word "impute," comes from the Greek word, which means middle voice, to take inventory, take an estimate. It's looking at the inner man. And I know you know this, but I just want to share it with you. Just remind us, when we're born again, God abides within us through his Spirit. And he becomes our mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. "And consequently, his word is always present and speaks to our spirit. impacting our soul, mind, will, emotions, and understanding. If we are sensitive and attuned to His voice, the Word leads us to repentance and transformation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do we fully understand what was written to the Philippian church in that verse? I'm not with you as pastor day in and day out. I'm not peeking in your windows at your home. I'm not tracking you down on the street. You have the Spirit of God. Work out your own salvation. What does it mean? You allow your connection with God's Spirit, with your Spirit, to live a life pleasing to God. You're working it out yourself. You don't have to tell somebody does not have to tell you every minute, every second, every day of your life what you should or should not do. I'm not going to tell you what you should get up and wear that day. Although you should wear something. I'm just saying. Man. Church, do we realize or have we forgotten what we possess? What God has given to us? It regenerates inside of us. Come on. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, work out your own salvation, fear, and trembling. I didn't call you and say, you better be at church tonight. You said, I better be at church tonight. I need to go to church tonight. I need to be in church on a Wednesday night. I need to find the house of God. I need to find someplace where I can go worship to renew my strength. I need to hear the Word. I don't know what the Word is going to be tonight. But I want to hear the Word of God tonight. What's it going to do for me? I don't know, but I know I need it. Yes. What are you cooking tonight, Sister Cox? Surprise, come home and see. I don't stop along the way and pick me up a hamburger just in case I don't like it. Oh, honey, you didn't have to do this. Really, you didn't have to do this. But it was good. Yeah. So this responsibility we have is this connection you have between God as the eternal Spirit that connects with your spirit. It's His righteousness that flows through us because of His Spirit that dwells in us. And then verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Wait a minute. Who's making me do this? Who's helping me to do this? Notice, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. You can't please God and you can't do His will unless you're connected with His Spirit, with your spirit. Are y'all connected to this? If it's disconnected, you cannot do His good pleasure. You cannot do His will. You cannot do His purpose. Church, you do it when you're connected with Him. It is God. Would you say this with me? It is God. Say, not me. It is God. It is God. It is God. Worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 24 through 25 affirms this truth by saying this. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. If we are connected with God's Spirit, then it is God that's working in you to do the will and to do His good pleasure. Because you by yourself, me by myself, would become a failure. A failure. And the reason why you're not a failure is because you have the Spirit of God connected to your spirit. Amen? Whatever God calls us, how He sees us, it matters little. What we think of ourselves or what others think of us, it only matters what God views us. Now, some need to hear that. Because you're being dictated by your emotions and your feelings. Years ago, we used to have, I've said this before, but it's true. Years ago, we used to have a Sunday school attendance board. It was a thermometer of depression. You know what's a thermometer do? It measures either it's hot or it's cold. So you can have one Sunday and the Sunday school board attendance says we had X number of people here. Next Sunday you have about 20 less. It's, oh, we had 20 less than we had last Sunday. I remember past my first church, we got to 16 people. But that wasn't the best. When we reached 26 people, I took the attendance board, stood beside it, and had my picture taken because we had 26 people. Next Sunday, I didn't want that attendance board near me because we had less than 26. So a Sunday school attendance board, people would see that and their emotions and their feelings would tell them whether we were success or we were failures by their emotions and by their feelings. All right. And some of you are living by your emotions and by your feelings and you're telling yourself that you're a failure or you are a success or you never will be worth anything. Because God died up on the cross of Calvary because He sent back His Spirit and fill you to reconnect you with life. And that more abundantly, you have His righteousness. And what He thinks of you is far greater than anybody around you. Because you know whether your spirit is connected with God's Spirit or not, or you're just being a rascal. Amen? I've got to hurry. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags." But the most marvelous things, and I'm closing with this, one of the most marvelous things the Bible tells us that we're sealed. What does that mean? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye have believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." You received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And He sealed you. Now what? Now some of you, when you can, anybody know what I'm talking about? When you're canning something or co-packing it or canning it and you take it out of the hot water or have you out of your pressure thing and you set it on the counter, what are you waiting for? You're going to stand there and stare at that jar. How beautiful that relish looks. Those peaches are so golden. What are you wanting to know? Whether it's sealed or not. And how do you know it's sealed? You hear a little ping, a little popping. It makes a sound. So do you when you receive the Holy Ghost and God seals you. I can't help myself. That's just good. That's good. We're free, folks. What Jesus has done for us is forever established. We're not reconciled to God according to our good deeds, our spiritual performance, but according to what Jesus accomplished on Calvary. God loved us independent of our actions. We must learn to renew our minds to align with who we already are in Christ. Who we already are in Christ. Who are you in Christ? I am born again, new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm His, sealed, signed, and delivered. I belong to Him. He's accepted us through repentance and baptism, and has sealed us with the infilling power of the Holy Ghost, connecting His Spirit with our spirit, giving us life, and that more abundantly, day after day after day after day after day after day. I'm so glad I'm a part of a lively church. The happy church, Holy Ghost filled church, Spirit of God. We may go through a lot of things. You may have gone through a lot of things in your life and disappointments and sorrows and hurts. But He has never left you nor forsaken you. Not one second. He's there. I said He's there. And sometimes may need a little jump start, a little bit of worship, a little praise, a little praying through, God, help me. But you have the most valuable thing, and that's God's Spirit connected with your spirit. Amen.